we're going through the Apostles' Creed, and what dawned on me was we probably haven't actually said or read or actually affirmed the Apostles' Creed. So what I wanted to do is invite you as we begin this message. Apostles' Creed is going to be on the screen. I want us to affirm it together. Let's read through it. I know we haven't explained every bit of it yet, and we'll get there. But today we're just going to read through. Let's stand together. Let's do the Apostles' Creed. We don't do readings like this very often, but let's do this together. We'll start out like this. Let's read it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So we've been using that document as the basis for our series over the last few weeks and into the next few weeks. We spent the last 3 weeks talking about the Trinity, each member of the Trinity. We got God the Father, we have God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I should have put them this way. Instead of down, it was like cascading down. I didn't mean that as if like they have priority like that. But so next up, we're going to talk about the church. That's today. We're going to talk about the church. It's Trinitarian language on Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But we're going to talk about the Holy Catholic Church today. That's where we'll head. And then next week, we're talking about the communion of saints, whatever the heck that means. But we'll find out what that means, hopefully, next week. Then we're going to talk about forgiveness of sins. Everybody likes that one until we have to do the forgiving. But we like to be forgiven when we have sins. And then resurrection of the body, that's kind of weird that's one thing that we believe in. Like, well, okay. And then the last one is life everlasting. We're going to talk about the fountain of youth. So, come on, people. Yeah. All right. Now, we're going to take our time for each one of those, but today we're talking about the church. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Most common question I ever hear about the Apostles' Creed, all the years of ministry that I've done in churches where we said it every week, people would still ask this question, what does Catholic mean? Are we Catholic? Does that mean we're Catholic? A Catholic church? And the answer is, no, we are not the Roman Catholic Church. That's different. Catholic means universal. That's all that means. So it's a big churchy word for universal. We are not the Roman Catholic Church, but we are part of the universal church. So yes, we are Catholic. No, we are not Roman Catholic. There's a very distinct difference there. So Catholic, just put that in your head. It just means what?
Universal.
All right. Now, holy is set apart. All right. It's something that's consecrated. It's set apart. It's a little bit different. So what we're saying is, I believe in the set apart is different than the world, but universal, global body, church is a body. All right, that's what we're saying when we say Holy Catholic Church, okay? Now, let me ask you this. Which is easier to believe? That your body will one day rise again because you've said, I believe in the resurrection of the body. What's easier to believe? That our body will rise again or that the church is actually holy? Yeah. Yeah, especially the church today in America. Before I go on a rant, because I'm about to, let me say this, full disclosure, there's never been a time in my life that I wasn't part of the church. Always. My parents are here today. Happy birthday, Dad. Today's birthday. Yep. They did well by us, raising us in the church. I've been to so many worship services. I've listened to thousands upon thousands of sermons. You'd think I'd be a better human being than I am today. Heck, I've preached probably 700, 800, maybe 1,000. I don't know. I've lost track. I've sung hundreds of thousands of songs. I've attended hundreds of leadership team meetings, prayer meetings, potlucks, hay rides, decades of vacation Bible school. All the things that we do that we call church, I promise you, I've done it. I've done it. I've been part of the church. I'm more likely to tell you about the handful of times that I wasn't in Sunday morning worship than when I was, because I remember the few times that I wasn't in church because I know exactly where I was. I can't tell you 1,000 sermons that I've heard, but I can tell you where I was when I wasn't in church. Also, by the way, full disclosure, I'm employed by the church. I have been for 23 years, full-time service in the church. Therefore, I have a vested interest in the church, particularly this one, because you guys employ me. I want it to do well. I need it to grow. I'm just being honest with you. That's part of all of this. I want us to be the best representation of church that is possible at all, period, on the planet. I would like us to be the best representation of what Jesus had in mind of the church. With that said, churches suck. And can I get an amen?
Amen?
I've experienced some of my most difficult times in life because of what? The church. I've been harmed by the church, my confessional. I've been sexually and emotionally abused because of pastors and people in the church. I've spent over a year with the possibility of being fired simply because one family in the church didn't like me, and the pastor, I was an associate, the pastor didn't want to make that family mad. So he just kind of let it simmer, and I was like, what about my family? I'm going through hell here. I've been told that I don't believe in the Bible by church people and leaders. I've been told I don't follow Jesus. I've been told my ideas won't work. I've been told I might be following the devil. I've been called lazy. I've been called incapable. I've been told by my superiors that I was a good leader, and then passed a couple of times by pastors with less experience, less education, who then wrecked that position altogether, and all I could do was sit back and watch. And that's me. And I'm in the system. Worse yet, I'm part of the system. I am the system. And there's people who could point their finger at me and say that I've done some of those things to them as well. And I repent of that so often. But if all of this can happen to me, I'm an adult white male in America. If all that can happen to me, then how much more so could it happen to people of lesser privilege than me? Try being a woman in that same system. Try being a person of color in that same system. Try being a non-paid clergy in that same system. The rates of abuse within the church are staggering. Then add on top of that the cover-ups, the protection, the gaslighting, the gatekeeping. It's no wonder why Americans in general are wholesale rejecting the church, because the church sucks. It's bad sometimes. And so it makes me wonder, are we, the church, actually holy? We say, Holy Catholic Church, the Holy Universal, set apart universal church, body of believers. Are we actually holy? And then when we try to be holy, we do it by gatekeeping, we do it with piety, we do it with judgmentalism, we tell everybody they're going to go to hell if they don't do the things the way we do them. Because that's what the church is. The church, I'm telling you, sometimes I wonder if the church does more harm than good at times. I'm a terrible salesman for the church, apparently. Everybody join our church. It sucks. But then go beyond it, one step further. The church in America currying favor with the political machines of the United States today. Jesus never once did that. He repudiated political power at every turn, and then to watch our national church leaders do what they've done over the last 10 years or so has done grave harm to our witness as the church, holy, set apart national church. We can't be the church witness to people who are far from God when we have our leaders doing what they're doing. The church has problems. Big time. Big time. In fact, the church that we belong to, like we're part of a greater body than just ourselves, and I literally never talk about it because hopefully the bishop isn't watching, but like I'm embarrassed by it. I'm embarrassed of our church. I am a licensed local pastor in the United Methodist Church, and we are therefore a United Methodist congregation. And now everybody gets up and exits. But that's what we are. And the United Methodist Church right now is in the midst of schism. It's pulling apart. They have particular issues that they're fighting over. And we too are sorting out where do we fit in all of this stuff, because we don't look like this, and we definitely don't look like that. But to go on our own, it sounds kind of arrogant, and it sounds like something that's not so universal, and it doesn't sound like there's unity in there. None of it sounds holy. None of it sounds like we're connected. It definitely doesn't seem like this is what Jesus intended for the church to be or look like. So, what did Jesus intend? So let's make a turn now. We're going to do more positive things now. My best memories come from the church. Part of the best parts of my life have come because of people in the church. My best friendships have come from the church. I've been more supported, more loved, more encouraged by people of the church. I've been trusted. I've been given responsibility. I've been given influence because of the church. I've been elevated to positions I probably didn't really deserve at times. Even though I've gotten passed over at times, I've also gotten positions I probably didn't deserve in the church. I've been given opportunities to experiment and fail in the church. And that is really unheard of in most places. On its best days, the church is an amazing community where we can support, encourage, and love one another and grow together. And oh, by the way, we just get to practice being Jesus to each other. Isn't that what the church ought to be like? Because that's a beautiful picture of the church. The church is an amazing place where the transforming work of salvation can be witnessed in real time, and we can work out our salvation together, which is what Paul says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we do as the church. And so how can both things be true, where it's the best part of life and also that my worst memories have come because of the church? I think it's because of Jesus' ideal that we find in the New Testament. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. Ekklesia. Can you say that with me? Ekklesia. That's perfect. Ek means out of, kaleo, which is part of what ekklesia comes from. Out of, to call out of. That's all church is, to call out of. To call out of what? What do you think? The world, the darkness. Yeah, that's right. We're called out of everything out. We are a called out bunch. The great irony is that we've settled for being a stuck in bunch or a stuck up bunch. We're to be called out is where we're supposed to be. Jesus is the first one to use that term in the New Testament. We find it in Matthew, but it's specifically not a religious term. I think Jesus was very intentional about using that particular phrase or that word or combining those meanings together so that it's not what was the religious idea of his day. It's not a religious term. So what we've done, though, is done this. We've moved ourselves from a called-out bunch to We call church an event or a location, right? Isn't that what we do? The church is not what we do on Sunday morning, although we say, I'm going to
church
on Sunday morning, and after, let's get lunch. That's what we say, right? And then we also assume that there's a building that we go to. We call it the
church,
and it has a steeple on it. In our case, it has a bar. The church is not an event, and it's not a location. The church is a called out bunch of people that are following and serving Jesus Christ. That's all it is. And it doesn't matter where we meet. This building could go away. Actually, sometimes I wish it would. About every Sunday morning. I love it. No, don't get me wrong. I love it here. Tom, if you're listening, I love it here. But it's difficult at times to worship in an old building that we don't own. We share it. So it's hard. But we aren't the building. We're called where?
Out.
We're called out bunch. Ecclesia, that word, is used 114 times in the New Testament. Half of those times, like right at 70-something times, or no, I don't know the math on it, more than half, come from Acts and the two letters of Corinthians. All right, so Acts uses ecclesia over and over and over again because Acts is talking about the building of the church, like not the, sorry, the growth of the church, not the actual building. Building of the church, like we had to work to build it up, the body, building the body together. So, and in the rest of the New Testament, when it's used, is talking about how the church should behave and how we should act and interact with one another. The references of ecclesia never once refer to a location or an event. Never. The Gospel of Matthew is the only gospel to use the word ecclesia, and it's used twice. And so that's what I want to focus on today, because we find the first use of ecclesia in Matthew chapter 16. It says this, Jesus is talking to Peter and the disciples. He says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Now that's the same Peter we talked about last week. Remember, if you were here, we talked about how the Holy Spirit worked in the life of Peter, and we saw how he started out as a complete turd of a human being, and then the Holy Spirit worked on him, and he became something that he was not before. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And now Jesus is telling him, still while Peter's over here, he's saying, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, let me clarify something. A lot of people think that Jesus was referring to Peter himself when he said he would build his church on the rock because the name Peter means rock. No, that's entirely possible. In fact, Roman Catholics have built their entire pope history on that, saying Peter's the first pope. But I would disagree because Peter himself didn't think he was the rock on which the church was built, because in his writings in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6, Peter talks about Jesus being a rejected stone upon which the entirety of our faith is built. He says Jesus is the rock. Okay, I just want to make that little point of clarification. Peter's saying Jesus is the rock upon which our foundation is laid. Go back to what Jesus said. Let me reread it. I also say to you that you are Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Two important things Jesus said there that I want to highlight. One, Jesus will build his church. Two, the gates of hell will not overpower it. Okay, let's go back to number one. Jesus will build his church. Now, we can strategize. We can make plans. We can perfect our thinking. We can go like this. I think this will work. I think this will happen. We can put on special events. We can have the rockin'est music ever. We can occasionally have a good sermon. We can, oh, when Reggie preaches. We can have Little Arrows Play Cafe, our front door to the whole community that people will enter in and just experience the love of Jesus, and they'll build a church out of that. But guess who builds the church?
Jesus.
That's right. Jesus builds the church, and the rest of the things that we do after that are either us trying to maybe help Jesus, or oftentimes get in the way of Jesus. We just get in the way sometimes. I mean, think about all the list of things I told you that's happened to me. That's just me. I can only tell my story. I can only imagine yours. We get in the way of Jesus. Jesus is the one who builds the church. When I finally surrendered that, man, it took a lot of pressure off. It took a lot of pressure off of me because I felt like this was my job to make sure that I build what Jesus said he was going to build. Because I thought it was my job. You know, for us, when I think about us as a congregation, this local church, we are part of the Catholic Church, right? The universal church. And when I think of it that way, it's like, well, we're just one small portion of one small corner of one small piece of one small group in this part of the universal church. Like, it's just us. It's like 100 of us, 150 if we all showed up at the same time. And we are simply responsible to do the things God called us to do. That's it. That's it. Like I used to think, well, we have to have 1,000 people. We don't. We don't. We just need to be obedient to what God is calling us to do, and then Jesus will build the church. It doesn't get simpler than that. I believe that no matter what our size is on Sunday morning, Jesus is building the Holy Church within us. And so even if it's not a numbers game of who and how many attend, it's what's happening inside all of us is Jesus forming the church within our lives. Our job is simply to put ourselves in a position where Jesus can build the church, whether it's in us or around us. My hard line is on formation. Yes, I know tricks of the trade. 23 years I've been doing this stuff. Okay, I know tricks of the trade. I can get butts in seats. We can do it. We were close at the beginning of the pandemic. We were real close to just packing this house every Sunday. I'm thankful for the pandemic to put a pause on that and help us to understand that Jesus builds the church. And we simply need to form ourselves. And that's what I've come to. How can I help our church be formed into the image of Jesus Christ? You can ask Reggie. We've talked about this so many times. My job is to form the body of Christ and not add butts in seats, although those will come and go. They do. They just come and go. Our job is to simply be formed by the body of Jesus Christ and formed into it. Because then, guess what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It will not prevail against. Now, I don't presume to think that Jesus was talking about Engage Newark in Newark, Ohio in 2023 when he said that. He was talking about the universal church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Engage Newark Church at some day will no longer be a church. I mean, I hope it outlives me. I really do. But to think that it'll be here 200 years from now, nah, I mean, really? I doubt it. Sorry if you're thinking long term. I'm thinking long term, but decades. But like 200 years from now. But although I'll allow for this, you know, maybe people will fly in on their cars and they'll on our 200th anniversary, they'll play a hologram of me saying that, and they'll go, "Ha ha! Our founding pastor had no idea what he was talking about." But I don't know that Engage Newark. My goal is it outlives me. That's all. I don't know what happens after that. Here's the thing. Jesus builds his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, despite all the hell that we have wrought on ourselves. We have brought it in on ourselves. Think about it over the course of church history, the millions of Muslims that Christians killed in the Crusades, the Inquisitions, the witch trials, the burning at the stake just because they believe the wrong thing about how you get saved, sex abuse scandals, cover-ups, extortion, laundering. Despite all of that hell that has been brought into the church of our own doing, we can't destroy it. Despite all the deception within the church to find a Savior other than Jesus, the church cannot be destroyed. Despite allowing ourselves to be deceived by those politicians who say they can make Christianity the state religion and enforce a morality that they can't even keep, neither can we, because we believe in Jesus, we know that the church will not be overtaken. It cannot be destroyed. There will, despite like entire political and economic systems, think about communism for all those decades in those closed down places, that's where the church has survived the strongest. In small cell groups, the church is still there. Even where they martyr believers, the church cannot be destroyed. The gates of hell are right against it, and the church cannot be destroyed. There will always be a small group of faithful followers of Jesus, always. There will always be some disciples left. A few weeks ago, I had COVID, and like I was too sick to do anything except, you know what this is. This is the remote. Thank you. It's a clicker. Some people call it a clicker. Yeah. And I found my way to Star Wars. I thought, let me revisit these because the movies they made in like 2015 to 2019 or so, I skipped them because I heard they were dumb. So I was like, let me watch them. And they were right. And but the thing is, they didn't get a new story. It's the same story with different people. That's all. It's just the same story. I was alert enough to realize that. But what struck me this time when I watched those three or four movies was this. Like, it's a picture of the church. There's a dark force that's in the world. There's a small remnant of good force. And that good force is trying to rebel against the darkness that is all around it. They constantly have battles back and forth. We are that small remnant. Yeah, we're a small remnant here, but you know, there's a larger church around. We are that rebellious force against the forces of darkness that are trying to creep in and just take over the world. There's always going to be a church because the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. We're part of that small band of rebels. We're fighting to keep good and light present and visible in the world. Here's what's happening in our zip code. We have our church in 43055. I live in 43055. Many of you do as well. Many of you don't. But I did a little research on 43055. There are 85 churches in our zip code. And there's 50,642 people that live in our zip code, 43055. It's not Count Heath, it's not Granville, it's not the county, it's 43055. That means if everybody attended church, and they all attended the same, like, equally, it was 596 people in each church. Hey, that'd be great if every church had, like, 600-ish people. Unbelievable. We would be rocking. Everybody would be rocking. But here's the thing, in 43055, I was just counting them up. I think there might be five churches that have over 500 people. Maybe. I'm not sure about that. The rest are likely 200 and less. Most are probably less than 100, I would say. I don't know. I don't have a graphic for that. No, Sarah? No? Okay. All right. So my presumption is that maybe in 43055, on your average Sunday, there would probably be 15,000-ish people that are worshiping or are connected to a church. Let's not presume they go every Sunday, so you know, but they're connected to a church. Maybe there's another few thousand that like never attend, but if they had a crisis, they say, I have a church, you know. That happens too. But you add all of it up and like in 43055, there's maybe like 35,000 people or so that have no connection to a church. 35,000 people. If Engage Newark Church were able to be a called out people away from this building, called out, and maybe make relationships with just 1% of that, it would triple us in size. We wouldn't know what to do with all those people. Honestly, I'd be like, all right, God, what's next? Well, we're not going to do butts and seats here. We're going to do, you know, discipleship. We got to engage these people somehow. We could 1% get 1% of them, triple our size, and still be under the 600 that we would need in every church to reach everybody. And that's just right now, okay? That's just 43055 right now. Think about what's happening in Western Licking County in the next 10 years. Yeah, there's another 10,000-ish people going to one employer in the next 10 years. Not to mention all the employment that's going to happen around that, all the building. I hate to break it to you. It's coming, okay? I have this hunch that that 161 corridor that goes between us and New Albany is going to be town the whole way. I'm sorry. That's just what it's going to look like. We need more churches. And guess what? Out of 85 churches, only 5 have more than 500 people. They can't all be mega churches. That means we need a lot of just average churches. God's not calling us to be some giant, huge thing. Just serve the Lord. Be ecclesia together. Called out. Go beyond ourselves, beyond our walls. Let's not get used to liking our building, this location, and liking our event. And let's realize that we're the ecclesia more than just for 1 hour on Sunday mornings. We are the ecclesia all the time, every single day. We are called out. We are meant to be the body of Christ for people with each other. Let's grow together spiritually and wait and see what God does in us and through us. Now, I will tell you this other little bit because it might impact us over time. So I told you I am licensed by the United Methodist Church, okay, right? Not always super proud of that, but it's true. So we came from Marne United Methodist Church, which is in Licking Valley, out east on 16. Because of the division that's happening in the church, they are choosing to go a certain route that we are choosing not to be with them. And I was still connected to them with my, it's called an appointment. So with that then, because they were leaving and we didn't want to leave the denomination, I've been reappointed to New Albany. So I now have my appointment. They would probably officially call me an associate pastor at New Albany United Methodist Church. Now, it means largely nothing except that I have to have an appointment somewhere because we haven't chartered yet. So what that gives us an opportunity to do, thinking strategically, now our vision moves from the east now to the west of us where all that growth is happening. We want to be able to position ourselves to be at the front end of where growth is happening. We did it in 2014 to 2017 as they were fixing up downtown in the big dig. We put ourselves here. We knew it's coming. It's going to be here eventually. And eventually, I promise you, they will stop construction. We wanted to go where people were going to be. Now we still want to go where people are going to be. I'm not saying we're moving our location. That's not what I'm saying. I want you to tie it all together. We need more average churches. We need more average churches. And we want to equip pastors to plant more churches and more churches and more churches. And we have Powerline that's getting started. But who's the next? Who's the next? Who's the next? And what are we going to do next? So I'm going to ask you now, do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church? Do you believe in the set apart, called out body, the ecclesia of regular people, just like you, just like me? No, not just like me, because I'm part of the system. Do you believe in the holy, set apart, called out body of people just like you? Do you believe that Father God, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit have activated all of us to be set apart, called out, along with billions of people all across the planet? If so, I want to I want you to give a hearty amen. Just give it amen. One more thing. Do you believe that you are a part of it? Do you believe that you are part of the church, that you're a member of the ecclesia? Do you believe that? Say amen if you do. Amen. We are part of this body. And our job is simply to do obedience to God, take one step at a time, and do that in fellowship with one another. Yeah, we've got some strategic things we're going to do. I'll be thinking about New Albany and down the road. But it's not going to change anything about what we do here on Sunday morning at this event in this location. Nothing changes, all right, just so you know. But that's not the church. We are beyond that. Let's pray. God, help us to be your church. Help us to be it locally, right here in Newark, Ohio, in 43055. May we be your church together. But Lord, may we have the vision that this isn't it. These four walls are not us. This thing we do on Sunday morning is fantastic. I love it. But it's not the only thing we are. And it's not the only thing we do. This is just a celebration for being the ecclesia called out bunch of people all week long. We thank you for the celebration, but we want to celebrate more and more and more as you bring your building of the church within us. So we pray to you, build your church in our hearts and build your church in our community and beyond. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.